On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
What up, everybody? JP Finley here. Another episode of Redskins Talk coming your way right now. Let's do some housekeeping off the top. No real news this week since Tandler and I went with our last episode. Kirk Cousins' decision is still there to be made, but I don't expect to hear anything at least another week or so if talks really are going to start heating up. I wrote an article yesterday about what the John Lynch hire in San Francisco means about the Niners' possible interest in Cousins. Short story, I don't think it changes it. If the Niners are interested, I think John Lynch will be a part of that. I think that interest comes from Kyle Shanahan, and the real question will be if they're going to offer the number two overall pick. I don't think that thing gains any steam without the number two overall pick. I am going to switch gears, though. I am going to do some public service for our listeners. We get a lot of analytics about the podcast, and this may surprise nobody, but the bulk of our listeners are younger men. And it is February 1st. 2 weeks from today will be Valentine's Day. And a lot of these men need to make dates. So, I have a good friend, Jack Kogod, who's going to join us now and talk about the best restaurants in and around D.C. that maybe, just maybe, you can still get a table and impress your Valentine's Day date. Jack, what's up, dude?
How you doing?
I am doing great. Thank you for coming on.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
How random did you find my request when I emailed you?
That came out of nowhere, but happy to do it.
Cool. So your Twitter handle is at Unsilent, is that right?
That is it.
All right, so what's funny is I bet a lot of our listeners know you as Unsilent and don't know your real name. You know what I mean?
That's entirely possible.
So you are, I believe you are kind of out of the blogging game these days, but can you give us kind of your CV, because you've been at some impressive places when you were still writing a lot.
Yeah, I'm kind of happily retired from that, at least for the time being. But we started out with Kissing Susie Culver. Five Guys and I started that site together. It grew and developed into some fun things. We ended up selling it. And in the interim, I was at Deadspin as a weekend editor. I've done some sports writing for Washingtonian.
Did you and I overlap at Washingtonian?
Here and there.
Were you and I both at Washingtonian at the same time for the, was it the Capital Connection thing? I can't remember what it was called.
I don't remember if we overlapped exactly. It was, that was a few years back. There's a big turnover in editorial leadership there, I remember. And
yeah.
There's a lot of people coming in and out.
What the heck was the blog called? You might have written for the actual magazine. I just wrote for some blog that I'm blanking
on. They brought me on to do online stuff, and it kind of morphed into magazine stuff because they needed, I guess, content that was geared a little bit more towards a different audience than they were getting.
Gotcha. Well,
which brings me to me appearing on your podcast to switch gears a little bit.
Yeah, dude. So, you're lifelong Washingtonian, I believe, right? I know you went away for college, but you are Mr. D.C. in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah. Born and raised here, went away for college, came back.
All right. So, food is a passion of yours, especially on your Instagram. I am always so jealous of the stuff you are cooking. And I like to cook a decent amount. I'm more of like a meat guy. I grill out a bunch. But you can plug your Instagram if you want to. So I know you're a great chef, but let's talk about restaurants. What's the number one restaurant you think somebody should take somebody to for Valentine's Day?
Valentine's Day is just so tough because it's the biggest dining day of the year, and a lot of restaurants are doing special menus. Getting a table is a huge headache for a lot of people.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
I like to kind of low-key Valentine's Day. My wife and I have this tradition of, you know, watching the dunk contest and getting pizza. But if you're going out, there are a ton of good options. The food scene in this city has obviously really taken off, especially the last few years. If you're up for waiting in line and you have the time for it, Rose's Luxury down in Capitol Hill, Barracks Row is going to be as good an option as anything. They come strong every night. You're going to get great food, great service, have a nice 2.5 hour relaxing meal. That's about as good as it gets, I'd say.
But, dude, how much is that?
They actually got frozen out of the top 20 on the New Washingtonian top 100 rankings, which is kind of surprising, but the place is as good as ever.
Let me interrupt you real quick, Jack.
That's a big time commitment. That's 3 hours waiting in line, maybe 2.5, followed by a pretty long dinner. So if you're up for it, that is what I'd do.
All right. But how much does that place cost? It's like $600 or something, right?
No. That's their next door neighbor, Pineapples and Pearls.
Okay.
Rose's is, you know, I'm not going to say it's affordable, but it's nothing like that. They have a lot of smaller plates and some bigger plates, but, you know, you can eat really well, drink really well, and spend $75 a head.
Oh, all right. And for our listeners, if you are trying to impress a Valentine's date, whether it's a man or a woman, 75, if you're getting out of there for 150, now I know everybody's in different circumstances, but on Valentine's Day, that should be enough to move the needle. Like, I would think that's a good Valentine's Day dinner.
Especially if you step up and wait in line for them, or, you know, pay somebody some ridiculous amount to wait in line for you. That's the only downside to Rose's, but it means if you have the time commitment, you can get in. You don't have to worry about the reservation.
Is that just...
They might be selling them for Valentine's Day. I'm not too sure about that.
But is that just shtick at this point? Like, just let people call and make a reservation.
This way, everybody that wants to come can come. The only people I think who didn't wait in line were the Obamas. I think the chef's parents have had to wait in line. But definitely check with Rose's to see what they're doing for Valentine's Day, because sometimes for special events they will do partial reservations, or they will sell reservations or something along those lines. So it's worth checking out.
So can I tell you that my wife has wanted to go to the restaurant Red Hen for months, and I'm such a mutt, I always forget, and then when it's an occasion we're going out, I don't get the reservation in time. How many weeks out do you need for a reservation at a place like Red Hen or a similar place?
Red Hen would be up there in my like top five suggestions, by the way. It's a great place to go, especially a special occasion. It's not really fancy, but it's kind of warm and cozy and great food and service and all that. One of the things they do at Red Hen is they set aside a lot of their tables for walk-in business. They're neighborhood restaurant. So the reason, A, it's very popular, so reservations can be tough, but B, they just don't give out a ton of reservations. So that's something, you've got to plan a few weeks out. I think that they post stuff onto their website like maybe 3-4 weeks in advance, and you got to jump on it right away. Otherwise, you show up, you get there a little early, you go to the bar, you get a bottle of wine or you get some cocktails, and you just kind of hang out, and it's a great scene.
Are fine dining restaurants getting away from all those kind of like, I feel like the emphasis on like fancy cocktails got pretty lame there for a while. Is that pendulum swinging back the other way at all?
There's been a bit of a shift. There are plenty of places that are still doing fancy cocktails. Jessica Sidman from Washingtonian actually started an Instagram account called the $14 Cocktail and had to discontinue it because every cocktail started costing $15.
Right.
$15. And so that kind of went away. Now you're seeing a little bit of a swing back. My friends, the Wiseman cousins, they're actually distant cousins of mine. Everybody in Washington seems to be related at some point, it feels like.
Or at least know somebody from the same
high school. Opening a bar on H Street. They're known for Whaley's and DGS Delicatessen. They're opening a bar on H Street where they're going to focus on cocktails that are more in that $10 price point. And so hopefully we see a little bit of sanity in cocktail pricing.
I love a good cocktail and all, but, like, I just feel like it got to be such a scene that was just stupid. Like, I don't know if you ever watched Parks and Rec, but there was an episode where Haverford took them to a bar where they had different types of ice, and it's like, come on, man, ice is ice.
And I love the part where they had a cocktail that you didn't actually drink, you just inhaled.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
It gets a little nuts. If you want to do that, Mini Bar by Jose Andres. You can go and you can have that whole experience. It's as much theater as it is eating and drinking.
And but now that place, you're talking $400 or $500, right?
They have an area where you can just do the bar and do cocktails and snacks. But if you want to do like the fixed menu, yeah, that's about as expensive as a restaurant in the city gets.
Gotcha. All right, so I am a steak guy. So I'm wondering, but the problem with steakhouses is most of them, they are one of many. Like, I love going to the Palm, but the Palm in D.C., while to me it feels very homey because I know some folks there, but it's not that different than the Palm in Philadelphia or New York or whatever. Same with Morton's.
No, that's true. And one of the things that made the Palm in D.C. kind of special was Tommy, the manager.
Sure, yeah.
For like 40 years, and he retired like 2 weeks ago.
What makes the Palm special to me is Mary Pat, the bartender, who I've known since I was like 9 years old. But I'm wondering if you have a steak place you recommend that isn't one that everybody's talked about, that isn't, you know, BLT or whatever other place.
Well, what's great is there are so many places where you can get a really good steak without going to a steakhouse. I really like Aqua El Due down in Capitol Hill, and they have their beefsteak Fiorentina for two. It's this massive, massive steak. It comes out perfect every single time I've gotten it. You never see it on the top 100 lists or anything like that. The food's good, and the steak is really killer. It's definitely one of my favorite steaks in the city.
Well, dude, all right, so give me that name one more time of that place.
Aqua El Due.
And where is it on the hill?
Oh, God.
You can give me a rough estimate.
I forget exactly.
Is it house side, Senate side?
Say it again?
House side, Senate side? Like roughly where is it? Is it Barracks Row or more Eastern Market?
It's Barracks Row.
Okay, gotcha. So the fact that it's a big steak for two seems like a perfect date spot, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you can even go there with another couple, get some pastas, and then get the steak for two, and it's a lot of meat. I go for two, and I bring home leftovers, and I eat my face off, so.
Boom. There's our first real... You know how, like, in fantasy, everybody's always talking about finding a sleeper? We just gave you guys a sleeper if you're trying to make a reservation. All right.
And you know what? They may actually have some tables.
All right. Now we're talking. Okay, let's... I'm a carnivore. Let's get away from steak. Is there, like, a... So one thing I've read, and I can't imagine this has changed just as real estate goes nuts, even inside the Beltway. The best ethnic food, you want Thai food, you want, you know, you want dumplings, you want Peruvian, whatever it is you want, you kind of have to go to the burbs and even the outer burbs for that. Is that still right?
Yeah, there are very few places in D.C. proper where you can get great, what you would call ethnic food, just all different foreign cuisine. There's still some good Ethiopian food in the city. There's Panda Gourmet in off of New York Avenue in a Days Inn or Motel 6 or whatever it is, that's pretty great. But for the most part, yeah, I stick to Rockville, I stick to Wheaton. I mean, I live in Bethesda, so those are both really easy for me. But Rockville for Chinese and Wheaton for Thai food, definitely.
All right, give me the spots in Rock Vegas and Wheaton.
Okay, Rockville A&J is great Chinese food. It's kind of a different style. It's kind of like an all-day dim sum, no carts or anything, just ordering off of a menu. It's a cash-only place. If you order something that's a little too out there, the Chinese lady will definitely say no, you don't want that, and steer you in the right direction. it's a fun place. And then Mama's Dumplings on the Pike, or just off of the Pike, maybe on Hungerford, has some obviously really incredible dumplings.
All right. All right. I don't want to hold you up too long because I'm asking you very random questions. Is there a spot you like that maybe people wouldn't think for a date, but it actually would be a good one?
14th Street can be a little bit overwhelming. There's so much going on and so many people. There's a ton of good food. There are places that are completely packed, places that are tough to get into. Estadio gets really full. One of my favorite things to do, my wife and I do this all the time, I love going to the bar, Two Birds, One Stone, run by Adam Birnbach. He's a great guy. He's a Celtics fan, unfortunately, but he's a really good guy. He runs the bar underneath this restaurant, Doi Moi. Doi Moi doesn't do reservations after a certain time, 5:30 or 6. So you put your name on the list. You go downstairs. You have, I know you were talking about the silly cocktails. These cocktails, he comes up with a new menu just about every week, and they're really outrageously good. If you want something, he's pretty creative. He can put something together for you. And then you go upstairs and you have a great meal.
What is the best? I know your booze pretty good. What is the best beer bar in the city? Maybe somebody's got a date where they both like beer.
Church Key is always going to be at the forefront there. They do everything pretty well, better than pretty well. The place I go all the time because I'm in the area is Owen's Ordinary. The same guys from Church Key opened Owen's Ordinary at Pike and Rose, and they focus on Maryland beers specifically. So out of their 40 or so tap lines, at least half of them are going to be Maryland specific. And they really have some gems, and it's a really fun place.
What all RAR do they have on tap there?
I was there a couple days ago. I think that they had 3 RAR beers on tap.
That's impressive, man. I like that stuff. You remember when you and I were much younger and, like, the only cool beer place was Brickskeller?
Oh, God, yeah.
Just, like, how different everything is now. I mean, the DC I knew when I was sneaking into bars at 17 versus what it is now 17 years later is remarkably different.
Yeah, the whole dining scene, it gets a lot of publicity, but the drinking scene has changed a ton, and with distilleries and breweries popping up like crazy and brew pubs. I was talking about beer bars, you know, Blue Jacket down by Nats Park is really fantastic. If you happen to be down there, Blue Jacket and Whaley's, if you want to get some food, that's a great part of the city to go right now because when the Nats aren't around, the crowds aren't there. You can walk right in oftentimes.
Dude, I just feel like...
It's a totally different world.
I feel like Blue Jacket's a little too fancy for a brewery. I don't know. I just...
They spent a lot of money on the build-out.
I like it and the beer is good, but I always want to like it more than I did whenever I leave, if that makes sense.
That makes total sense. If you're not comfortable there, I have a friend who I sent kind of on a bike tour through the city and pointed out the breweries he wanted to hit. And just the difference between going to Blue Jacket and then going to, like, a startup brewery at the time, like 3 stars, that was literally just in a warehouse in, you know, Tacoma Park South, whatever you want to call the neighborhood. It's pretty stark.
Yeah, exactly.
Blue Jacket has some great beers. It's definitely... started up a little bit, for better or worse. I enjoy my time there.
All right. So we've been very kind of D.C. Maryland heavy. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are VA folks. Do you have, like, an Arlington, Old Town, you know, out to Reston? Do you have any wrecks going in on the other side of the river?
I really don't. I feel bad, but I really don't. I just, especially as I've gotten older, I don't get into Virginia. You know, I'm in Tyson's with my family sometimes, but I'm not going out to eat a whole lot in Northern Virginia.
Right. I hear you, man. Well, dude, I really appreciate it. Oh, I had one more for you because we hit on beer bars, but I know you're a vino guy too. Are there places you would recommend for wine, whether it's getting a really nice bottle to maybe cook at home or go out and try some different stuff?
Okay, here's where I can plug something. My brother runs kogodwine.com, K-O-G-O-D. He sells wine direct online. He has a really great wine shop, so I'll give him a little shout-out there. As far as buying locally, I've always really liked Wygant Wines in Cleveland Park. I love hanging out at Ripple, which is right over there. They have maybe my favorite wine list in the city. Red Hen that we talked about earlier has a really great wine list, and these are places that focus on not huge names, maybe a lot of natural wine, but stuff that is totally affordable and really great with food.
Gotcha. Since we're plugging, have you been to Tail Up Goat? That is a friend of mine from high school's spot.
Oh, really? That is one of the places that I've been dying to get into, and it just hasn't really materialized. These past few months have been a little nuts, but that is 1A on my list right now.
Dude, it's great. It's really good, and I feel like a bit out of my league in there because he'll bring over... You know, my wife and I like a nice bottle of red, and he'll bring us over like three samples of various wines from the Canary Islands. And I'm like, oh, they all taste great. Like, I don't know anything. You know what I mean?
As long as they taste good.
Right, for sure. All right, last one. So we've hit on restaurants to go to. What if there's a relatively easy meal somebody's going to make at home for a date? Anything you can rattle off?
You know what? Pasta always hits home.
Just
do a great, you know, carbonara, something that's not too crazy. You don't have to make your own pasta. Just go out and buy some good pasta, get some good bacon or something like that, and you can throw together a really great dish in, you know, 20 minutes.
All right. How far are the Wizards going to get in the playoffs? I know you're a Wiz fan.
They're up 12 on the Knicks right now.
Oh, dude, you're giving away our timeliness.
Eastern Conference Finals makes it a successful season.
So you have them in losing to the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals, I'm guessing?
Yeah, probably. I mean, hopefully they get that far. I don't have any illusions of them going further than that, but I'd obviously be happy with it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, barring an injury, or, you know, I kind of think they should have done that two seasons ago when John got hurt in Atlanta, you know?
Yeah, when he hurt his wrist, it really derailed things, and that was a great opportunity. They have another one this year. I'm worried because one minor injury completely derails them. If anyone on the starting five goes down, they're pretty much toast, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, let's hope Jan Mahimi helps when he comes back. I want to let you go, dude. Tell folks where to follow you or find any of your stuff.
At Unsilent on Twitter. What am I on Instagram? At JKogod, I think. JKogod.
Dude, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure.
All right, folks, that is it. That is Jack Kogod, who knows more about good food than I do. And I hope you guys enjoyed that. Let me know what you think on Twitter and on Facebook, and you can comment on the posts. And I think that was worthwhile, especially with Valentine's Day 2 weeks away, and you guys can hopefully make some plans as you need them. Thank you very much for listening.
I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.